This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The World Series, I thought it was terrific. On that stage with Dodgers and with the Yankees and the number of superstars and the star power. And I know it wasn't a game seven. It wasn't as competitive for the Yankees on their end. But man, this couldn't have worked out better for the Dodgers and their master plan going back just over a decade ago when the new ownership group brought the team. And we were talking about this on our last edition of After Hours, the most effective and least effective owners in sports. And producer Pete brought up the ownership group with the Dodgers, who purchased them in 2012 and had this grand scheme to make them a global draw. And not only have they brought in two of the best Japanese players, but the Dodger brand, the logo is back. They've now got two World Series, not to mention the appearance against the Astros that still, I think a lot of Dodgers fans would claim, or at least would remind you, that there are trash cans that were involved in that and the sign-stealing scandal. Well, the Dodgers are now back to being one of the most iconic franchises in sports, and Shohei Ohtani has just handed them another MVP award unanimously, becoming baseball's first 50-50 guy, actually nearly a 60-60 guy with home runs and with stolen bases. But baseball feels like it's way in the rearview mirror and not close enough on the horizon yet when we're talking about pitchers and catchers reporting. It's actually funny. Heard this exchange between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady about the grind of the season. Now, Belichick and Brady, they're trying to make a point that it stretches on and on and on. And we've heard that from, like, Ron Rivera when he joined us a month ago on the show. He said the same thing. Like, the season just seems to stretch on forever. But he's taking some flack, Brady is, for talking about the grind after all his years of playing when now he's doing one game a week from a TV booth.
Grinding through the football season, it's been fun to see it from a different perspective.
You saw a heck of a game this weekend.
Hey, Coach, before you get going, I just want to ask you, what do you make of Tommy thinking that this is a grind? Talking for 3 hours on Sunday afternoon.
Well said, Scratchy. Well said.
Well, you know what, though? It was really hard to prepare for one team, to study one team all week, to get ready to coach in that game. And the thought, really, of trying to learn two teams in depth like that is really hard. To prepare like Tom did for one opponent and to now have to prepare like that to talk about both teams in that same kind of depth, it really is a lot of work, Jim. I'm telling you, it's not as easy as you think
it
is.
You are such a good, loyal, solid teammate, coach, mentor.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because you just bailed him out.
Hey, if you need anyone else to jump on that bandwagon, I agree. It is a grind. The schedule. We say that football's all-consuming in this business. It never stops. And it really doesn't, even though people think we just show up, we talk for 4 hours, we leave. So anyway, I'm feeling that from SiriusXM NFL Radio. That's the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray, now Bill Belichick. But of course, Brady makes an appearance every week because it was his show that he started with his friend Scratchy. It's a grind to talk about football. And Belichick bails him out by saying, well, now he has to prepare for every team. When honestly, I think he sees the Cowboys more than any other team out there. I think he had multiple games with the Cowboys in a row. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, dead center of our final show of the week. So I think we can safely say, since the vast majority of the United States is now into a Friday officially, happy Friday to those of you who are waking up and getting your Friday started. A fantastic, fun, free-for-all, fun, I already said fun, can't repeat, frivolous, fake, no. You know, I love to use my alliteration. It's a football Friday, okay? I should have just gone with that. But it should be a good one. We're heading into the final weekend before Thanksgiving, and goodness, I bet there's going to be a load of people at the store. So that's what my husband and I are doing on Friday evening. We decided skip Saturday because we feel like Saturday is going to be even more traffic at all of the local stores. We were planning on going to Sam's. Instead, we're going to try to do it Friday evening like a bunch of nerds. It's our date night Friday at the grocery store. Okay, don't make fun. No need. Don't at me. We're okay with it. We don't get to do these things a lot. And honestly, we waited a lot of years to be able to do this stuff together. However, we do have some really cool plans on Saturday, which I will share. Because remember, last hour I gave you the bad news about the light. It's still shining. It's still obnoxious. It's still intrusive. The neighbor's a liar. But there is good news coming up this hour. Also, straight ahead, about 15 minutes from now, our friend Tyler Drake from the desert, where they do not have the snow, at least not in Phoenix. They have it in the mountains. But the Cardinals are sneaky on top of that NFC West division, and they're flying right under the radar. Not a lot of people paying attention to them outside of Cardinals country. So what do we need to know as they head into a game against the Seahawks? And since we are in week 12 and it's such a grind, we've given you the opportunity to pick the After Hours game of the week. So that is on our show Twix at Amy After Hours and then Facebook page as well. We're glad to have you with us. 855-212-4227. Still ahead too. Micah Parsons apologizes for his slight of Mike McCarthy that he swears was not a slight of Mike McCarthy. Jared Goff, I think right now he's one of the front runners for the MVP. And even though he says everything is working, that's a direct quote from Jared Goff last week after the Lions hung another fitty. I mean, they just continue doing that. Might set a record for the number of times they score 50 on their opponents. It was 52 against the Jags last week. The Lions have now won 8 games in a row. And yet Jared Goff, though he says everything is working, he's got perfection on his mind. And a little bit of the college football weekend as well, thinking about Indiana and Ohio State. And if Indiana wants to prove itself, this is when the Hoosiers have got to put up or shut up. But first, we promised, and we like to deliver better late than never.
I am the greatest.
Time for the knockout. Five rounds.
I like how you started with hi.
Hi.
Hi. Before I knock you out, let's say hello cordially.
Yes, hello. All right. So who is knocked out of the playoffs first? Steelers. I'm going to add some teams here. I'm pulling an audible. Steelers, Chargers, or Cardinals?
So you're assuming that all three of these teams,
if they make the playoffs.
Make the playoffs.
Right. Well, they're on a good track.
Okay.
What would you say?
See, I like both the Cardinals and the Chargers defenses because right now they're extremely stingy. Cardinals, they don't give up touchdowns at home. Chargers, I mean, they're barely giving up 13 points per game, or maybe it's 14 now. Oh, shoot. Still, though, I'll go Chargers because more than likely they would have to go on the road because the Chiefs, at least as it stands at this point, would win that division, the AFC West. So I'll say Chargers only because they'd have the challenge of going on the road, and it could be an opponent in the cold weather, blah, 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 have to travel cross country. So I'll say Chargers, but those are some big assumptions, Pete.
Hey, look, this is just scenarios, just scenarios.
Knock out.
We like the scenarios, all right? You need to win one game. Who are you picking, and who are you knocking out? Gino Auriemma or Coach K?
Ooh, I'll go Gino. I mean, how can you argue with the all-time wins leader in college basketball? Not that Coach K couldn't do the same. Gino has the uncanny ability to get every ounce of effort and skill and teamwork and commitment from the women that he signs there at UConn. And it's not for everyone. There are some young ladies that show up there and realize it's not for them. He is hard on them. The system is hard on them. But I'll say Gino because his win rate, the number of championships, obviously the Final Fours, what is it, 23 now? I mean, phenomenal track record over 40 years, and he's not done.
All right. We talked about the Lakers. They're in a unique position, I think, this year. They have J.J. Redick. It's a little bit of a controversial pick for head coach when they picked him. LeBron always there, always producing.
Producing.
Pick the scenario. Lakers in the Western Conference Finals or the Lakers with a first-round exit. Which one are you knocking out?
Now, does this include the gimmicky 7-10 tournament?
All right. Say they make it past that.
Okay. Gotcha.
Those are the scenarios.
And see, we're assuming health. I'll say NBA Finals. I mean, there's a long way to go, but I do think Anthony Davis is terrific if he stays healthy. LeBron is obviously healthy. I like the addition of Dalton Knecht, and now he's in the starting lineup, and he has been terrific since he's gotten on the court as a starter. I think they're deeper than they've been in the past. So if you're giving me that only choice, it's one or the other. I'll say it's more likely NBA Finals.
Yeah, I think they could go really one way or really another way. I don't think there's a middle for them this year. It just seems like that to me. Round four, knockout one on your team. You're starting a baseball team, Ohtani or Judge?
Ohtani. He's more versatile, and I know he deals with more injuries, but the man didn't miss a game this year. I mean, he's unbelievable the way that he is able to contribute as a DH. I mean, a DH to win the National League MVP, which obviously wouldn't have been possible a couple years ago, but he steals bases even when he doesn't need to. He hits home runs. He hits extra base hits. He hits with runners in scoring position. Soon he's going to be pitching as well. Not to mention he brings eyeballs and earballs to the TV and radio. I mean, he's probably the most recognizable athlete on the planet right now, this side of Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi. So I've got to go with Ohtani. Not a knock on Judge, because he plays the field and he's a tremendous outfielder. I think his streak sometimes lasts a little longer and he can get lost a little more. The strikeouts, there are these stretches where it feels like he's flailing at the ball. I know he was frustrated during the playoffs, to be sure. So I think Ohtani right now is more of a sure thing, more consistent, but also the pitching just puts it over the top.
And Ohtani made the Dodgers so much money in that you could make a case that there any pursuit of Juan Soto that they have is because of the money generated by Shohei Ohtani. Round five. Now we always go for the hard-hitting questions on After Hours. Knock out one from Thanksgiving. Stuffing or mashed potatoes?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Hard-hitting questions, folks.
Yes. I'll say you have to knock out the stuffing. As much as I love it, especially when it's in the turkey, in fact, that's why it's called stuffing, I can't go without the mashed potatoes and the turkey gravy, the salt, the pepper, the butter. Oh, man. Makes me so happy.
Now, I would say the mashed potatoes just for this reason. When do you normally have stuffing during the year?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes just because I have leftover gravy, I've made more stuffing past, okay. Which is kind of funny. But it's right on the heels of Thanksgiving. I don't think you have it.
Right.
Maybe people have it at Christmas. We don't generally do a turkey at Christmas time, not in my family. And so, I would say you're right about that. I do love stuffing, but I look forward to these mashed potatoes all year long.
All right. I hope you're hungry. That was the knockout.
Oh, I'm always hungry. And thank you for the knockout blows. Mama said knock you out. I miss LL Cool J on TV. I still haven't finished up NCIS Hawaii, which was, I know it ended in the spring and they canceled the show. But I haven't finished. I have three more episodes and I'm milking them because I love LL Cool J and his role as Sam in the NCIS franchise. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me, and also on our Facebook page. Now, still to come, we've got QB news, which will be a good way to frame this upcoming week 12. My good news, so QB news and good news. I've been saving it. Now, if you want a sneak peek or you want to cheat and check it out first, you can find that on my Twix. I didn't put it up there on Facebook, so you guys are going to have to wait. The poll is now up in each places. Pick the after hours game of the week as well. Here's me tossing to our break. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Snap to Murray, drop straight back, a fade, right corner of the end zone, Harrison, oh, what a catch with one hand for a touchdown! Marvin Harrison Jr. hauls it in with his right arm, just a gorgeous drop in the bucket by Murray.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Dave Pasch on Cardinals Radio, he's so good, Marvin Harrison is so good, he makes the Cardinals worth paying attention to, but if you haven't been, you should, because they're sitting on top of the NFC West. It's tight, though. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're pleased to welcome Tyler Drake from AZ Sports, a Cardinals insider, and has the AZ Cards Corner podcast. Coming off of the bye, Tyler, they had a breather. They're 6-4 on top of their division. How would you describe the season to this point?
Pretty shocking. I think that's the word right now is the fact that they weathered the storm through a gauntlet of really legit signal callers through the first six or seven games there. They started out 2-4, but now they jumped with that four-game win streak to get to 6-4, sitting atop the NFC West. They really control their own destiny. They've got that 2-0 divisional record, and everything just seems to be clicking. They're just complimentary. I think that's the big word right now for them is really all sides of the ball is really picking up their end of the bargain. And it's pretty amazing to see just because they fought through so many injuries, especially on the defensive side. And that's been one of their strong suits so far. They've got a three-game home streak of not allowing a touchdown. And for this defense to say that is pretty impressive, just given all the injuries and given the guys that have had to fill in. It's just been really impressive. And then you turn over the offense and that's just been a whole other story that I think is finally living up to what everybody has expected from them.
So four wins in a row to this point. As you remind us, they've only had two games in the division, and they were earlier in the season. How much did you take away from that San Francisco 49ers game in which they won by a point?
I think it just shows you that they have turned that corner. The new regime has set the foundation last year, and you're starting to see all these pieces kind of come together, and they're playing in the division. They're playing up with these teams that, let's be honest, the last couple of years have had their numbers. So they still have to finish strong. Obviously, they've got these two basically back-to-back divisional matches with Seattle. They've got to finish with the Rams and the Niners. So obviously, a lot can happen between now and then, but the way that they've hung in and really put their own physicality and dominance ahead of these other teams that really have thrived on it has been really impressive to see, and that's just a credit to what head coach Jonathan Gannon has been preaching and wanting from his team and the type of mentality that he wants from his players, and it's all starting to come to fruition, which it's just really impressive to see. You can tell they're ahead of schedule from really where they want to be long-term.
Who are you seeing really leave a mark in this defense? Now that Jonathan Gannon's had, I guess it'd be about a year and a half, to be able to establish the type of system that he wants.
Obviously, you've got to start with Budda Baker. He's having another one of his best years, I think, as a pro. He's well on his way. I started over 100 tackles. They're right there. So it's just been really impressive there. But another guy that I think is kind of an unsung hero right now is Garrett Williams. I think he's really coming into his own and is looking like he has the makings of their CB1 moving forward in the future, just because he just can take on such a workload. He's playing out of the nickel, but they need him to play outside. He can do that. He can match up with their best players. And this is going to be a really big test this week against Njigba, because they're going to want to throw it to him. And I'm going to assume that Garrett is going to be, that's going to be his number one priority. So those guys have really stood out to me. Another couple guys, Dante Stills, he's another guy who very much an unsung hero, but has stepped in with these with Justin Jones and Bilal Nichols being hurt. He's really impressed. Quite a few guys. Everybody's just really coming together. That's the biggest thing, is there's really no big names. Obviously, you have Buda Baker, but you can tell these guys are just wanting to play for one another. There's a makeup that you really just, it's top to bottom. It's almost like you're talking to the same person when we interview these guys, because they have the same mentality. But it starts with Buda, though. I think that's the biggest thing, is Buda really is the heart and soul of that defense. Another guy, I think one more guy, Kaiser White. One guy that keeps that middle of the defense stable. He's been a big presence there. I think he's one guy that should definitely be extended into the next season and beyond. He's just a vital piece of that defense. So it's going to be really interesting into the offseason, because another guy, Buda Baker, contract year. So right, we'll have to see there. But definitely those guys, they've really impressed me so far.
It's always good to talk to Tyler Drake out of the desert. It's definitely not the desert in Cleveland, where we saw a snow game between the Steelers and the Browns to kick off week 12 in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Obviously, when Gannon got started, it took some time, maybe longer than what the head coach would have liked, in finding that communication and establishing that with his quarterback. Now that we've seen Kyler Murray kind of settle back in post-injury, how would you characterize their relationship in the wake of one that kind of went sour between Kyler and Cliff Kingsbury?
Honestly, I feel like from what we saw at the end there, it's really night and day. You can tell Kyler's in a better place. You can tell the franchise, I feel like, is in a better place, just because of how much of an lockstep they all are in. I mean, accountability has been a huge thing that Kyler's talked about, that he sees and that he appreciates from the coaching staff and who they bring in, who the front office brings in. But really with Gannon, it seems like right away they clicked. And we just talked to him this past week, and he spoke about how he first met Drew Petzing, the offensive coordinator. He could tell right away he was going to love the offense just because of what it brought. And the fact that he doesn't have to be Superman means that much more to him, because he can rely on the guys around him to really make those plays and really share the wealth. Whereas before, if he wasn't doing something, this team was losing. And as we saw against the Bears, he didn't have to really go out there and shock the world. He just had to make sure he didn't give the ball away. And that's been a huge thing, a huge, huge factor to how impressed I've been with him this year, is just his ability to keep the ball away from the opponents. I think he's only had 3 picks, and I think that's second behind Herbert. I think he only has 1, which is pretty impressive in its own right. But I think that's a huge credit to his relationship with the coaching staff and getting like-minded players around him, because you can also tell, I think, his leadership and maturity is also growing. And I also think, and I know this is kind of a little outside the box, but you look at his off-the-field stuff, he's starting to do.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We'll vlog every week. I think that's showing that he's more comfortable and is open more and is opening up and feeling like he is where he's supposed to be in his career. And I think a big part of that is what this new regime has brought to the table.
right now sitting third in the NFL in quarterback rating, and hearing chants and rumblings of MVP, which is interesting. How much have you heard that floating around Kyler these days?
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. It's been a topic out here. We actually asked him that on Wednesday, and he said yes, he hears it, but that's probably about the last thing on his mind. That doesn't satisfy him, obviously. Winning cures all, and when you get the wins, obviously awards are going to come with that, but that's not what he plays for. So obviously the answer I think a lot of people expected, but yes, that has been a topic out here. I think it's a pretty tough climb. I think he's seventh right now in a lot of the odds, but he's playing really well, and if he can keep it up and maybe increase that touchdown total, it's only going to raise him up in that standing. So it's going to be interesting to see how he can finish off these last seven games for sure.
I am so excited to hear about his budding relationship with his rookie wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr. As a Syracuse grad, I remember Marvin Sr. being on campus. The crowds parted for him. His son, who looks like him, kind of walks like him a little bit, clearly can catch the ball like he does too. How have you seen that relationship start to really be productive?
Yeah. I think from day one, you could tell that there was just a natural connection. And since then, you can just tell that they're starting to understand the tendencies more. They're anticipating one another more. I think early on, you could see some of those viral clips of Marvin down the field wide open, even though Kyler's scrambling around four or five different defenders. But there's different times where, you know, you see those plays, but now I feel like those are somewhat getting eliminated, and you're seeing these bigger plays and maybe it's not those 100-yard games every single time, but Marvin is making an impact, and I think he's getting the ball when it matters most. And obviously, there's still a lot that they can do to make it more of a consistent effort on his part. But I think at the end of the day, it's what you expected out of your number four overall pick. And with the rest of the season coming off this bye week, I'm really interested to see how come out of the gates and maybe show off some of their more of their connection moving forward, because you can tell they have it. It's just a matter of can they put it on at a consistent rate throughout the rest of the season.
What is the most impressive thing you've seen from the rookie receiver?
He just seems it's really easy for him. It really does. He doesn't seem like a rookie. He seems like everything is just slowed down for him, even though this is all very much a new thing to him. But that's the thing. It doesn't feel like it's new. It's when you're around these veterans, I mean, I don't want to liken it to Larry, but he just kind of has that presence, that aura of just, he knows what he's doing. He's about football. That's what he's about. And it's just really impressive to see for a young guy. I mean, there's a lot of times we're in the locker room and I think he's coming in from catching another 200 balls on the jug machine or something, because he's always just dedicated to his craft. And it's really, really impressive to see, because for a young guy to be that dedicated, you can really tell he has a love for the game and a love to get better every single day. So I think that work ethic, you can really see. Everybody talked about it in pre-draft, and it's really coming to fruition really on a daily basis.
Always good to check in with Tyler Drake about the Cardinals, who right now sit top the NFC West with four straight wins and getting ready for a battle against the Seahawks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Of course, we can't talk offense without talking about James Conner. Resurgent first half for him, and the way they've been able to establish the run is really impressive. What kind of balance are they looking for?
I think that's really what they want to do. If they can run the ball and they can start with really punishing the defense in their front seven, that's what they want to do behind James Conner. I mean, he's just like Buddha on the defensive side. James Conner's that heart and soul of the offense. I think Kyler's their MVP right now, but James Conner's their heart and soul. They love playing for this dude, and you can tell he loves playing for everybody else. And you can start to see Trey Benson getting involved too. I would love to see that increase moving forward, because I think that can take off some of James Conner's workload. But really, James Conner is the lifeblood of what this unit wants to get done. So if they can run it and really put it behind that run game, that's what they're going to do. They want to cram it vertical, as Jonathan Gannon has said, and that's how they want to get it done. And they can control the game through the trenches. That's what they want to do. And I think that's a really big a factor going into against Seattle. It's last week they were decent against the run, but I think there's some holes that the Cardinals can still exploit. So it'll be very interesting to see if they can go back to their bread and butter moving forward here.
We saw the Seahawks rally past the Niners last week. And, of course, San Francisco, not the team that it's been the last couple of years. Injuries have been tough, but also unable to protect leads inside the division, which is strange. What stands out about the division to this point, Tyler?
Just think how close it is. It feels like there's a potential that the Cardinals can really take a huge step ahead of everybody else if they can continue to do what they've been doing. Beating Seattle would be huge because that would also take them a step back. But I think it's just really going to come down to these last couple of weeks just with how everybody's playing. I still think the Niners are a team to watch, even though injuries continue to plague them. And I think if they're one or two losses away, that really puts them in a bad spot. The Rams, I think, are still really dangerous with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua really back in the fold now. And you can't rule out Seattle because I think we're seeing some of the best that we've seen out of Geno. Seattle Geno is obviously the best in Geno's career, but I really think the parity right now is what is standing out to me. But at the same time, there's this potential where the Cardinals can get through these next 3 weeks with beating Seattle twice. It's going to really separate them from the rest of the pack, especially with having one of the easier schedules in the NFL, especially compared to the other guys in the division.
So what's their fatal flaw? Because every team's got one. What is it for the Cardinals?
Their pass rush. If they can improve their pass rush, they could really be a dangerous team, really defensively too. But they've got one of the worst pass rush win rates, so improving that would be huge. But it just really depends on who they've got. They've just lost so many people. But if they get a guy like Darius Robinson back soon, that could obviously improve that because he's really, I think, as a rookie, I know there's a lot at stake, but you can't put too much on his plate right now. But at the same time, I think he will help a lot with that front seven, and I think that'll help the pass rushers like a Zaven Collins and a Baron Browning really get going. So really interesting to see how that all unfolds, but that's got to be my area where they can really take a next step forward is at the pass rush.
How much are the fans buying in? Because it's been a few rough years for the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, you can tell. There's a palpable buzz. I really think it. Obviously, in 2021, when they went on that streak and won, I think, what, seven games in a row, and then they had the A.J. Green didn't turn around and the Green Bay Packer loss, and everything kind of unfolded and unraveled from there. The feeling is similar, but it just feels like this is a little more sustainable. It doesn't feel like it's, oh, any second this could really all fall apart. It really does feel like they can beat you in multiple ways right now offensively, and I think that's really the key. And then on the defensive side, they just are doing what they need to do. So especially with ASU, ASU's really turning around too. So having both of these teams kind of fighting and having this football kind of buzz right now is really interesting to see and really watch. It's on both of them to really step up and continue winning because I think fans are only going to get more excited as the playoffs get closer.
And yet they're flying under the radar. Do you think that's a benefit to them?
Yeah, I do, because they're very much keep it one game at a time. They're not getting ahead of themselves. And yes, I think a lot of people out here are looking ahead and looking at these next seven games and trying to plot out what the playoff picture is going to look like and divisional picture is going to look like. But for them, I think it does help that, hey, yeah, they're still the underdogs. They're still, I think, only like a 58% chance to make postseason. So it's like, even though they have this lead right now in the division, some people are barely thinking they're going to make the playoffs. And I think that's a chip on their shoulder. And I think that gives them a little bit of an underdog mentality. Obviously, they say they don't look at it. But at the end of the day, I think you look and when you're hearing about the top teams, yeah, they're probably leaving the Cardinals out right now. So yeah, I definitely think that is in their favor because they want to be very much underdog mentality and keep one game at a time and show everybody, like, on the field, this is what we're about. We don't need to see it off the field.
Tyler Drake is coming off that bye with the Cardinals and getting set for this last stretch of the season. Covers the Cardinals for AZ Sports and also has the AZ Cards Corner. You can find him online at TDrake4Sports. It's always good to catch up with you. I'm sure you wish you were in Cleveland with all the snow, but alas, you're stuck in the desert.
Oh, bummer.
Thanks so much, Tyler.
No problem.
I think you should be very suspicious of people who don't like snow. People who don't like four seasons. You're missing out. And I love that we had our first snow game of the NFL season, like real heavy snow game for this NFL season before Thanksgiving. It's terrific. And somehow the Browns and Steelers combined for 27 points in the fourth quarter when you could barely see anything at the playing surface. We'll get back to week 12 and the kickoff in Cleveland at the top of the hour. At A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, too, you can vote for the game of the week with a full slate stretching out ahead of us, including the Harbaugh Bowl. The Harbaugh Bowl? That sounds weird. This is where I stop. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amel, it's been a rough season for the Browns. They gave back a 12-point fourth-quarter advantage as well, but able to bounce back in the snow.
Fourth and four. Winston, shotgun. This is huge. Has the snap. Board the back. Jameis throws to the left. It's caught in the snow in front of the Browns bench. First down, Jerry Jeudy.
Pair of fourth down conversions led to a Nick Chubb go-ahead touchdown. He ran for a pair of scores, the latter with 57 seconds remaining. Browns shocked the Steelers 24-19. Call courtesy of the Browns Radio Network. Jameis Winston, 219 yards. He ran for a score. Russell Wilson threw for 270 to touchdown. But despite the loss, George Pickens still not impressed.
Conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
Steelers now 8-3, Browns 3-8. Still unclear if Brock Purdy's going to be able to give it a go for the 49ers due to his shoulder injury. Brandon Allen would get the start against the Packers if he can't. Daniel Jones won't be starting for the Giants anymore. Former first-rounder met the media for the first time since his demotion.
Of course, this season has been disappointing for all. And of course, I wish I could have done more. I'm 100% accountable for my part.
Checking the NBA, Franz Wagner, the go-ahead three with 2.5 remaining. Magic turned aside the Lakers 119-118. Wagner finished with 37 points, 6 rebounds, and 11 assists. Spurs outscored the Jazz 126-118. Harrison Barnes, 25 points, 10 boards. Hornets outlast the Pistons in overtime 123-121. And the Raptors too much for the T-Wolves 110-105. Paul George dealing with a bone bruise in his knee. He'll miss at least 2 games for the Sixers. College football, Georgia Tech score with just 22 seconds remaining, upending NC State 30-29. College hoops, Tennessee overpowered Virginia 64-42. 13th-ranked Baylor got a 3 at the buzzer from Jeremy Roach. They shocked St. John's in double overtime, 99-98. And Indiana erased UNC Greensboro, 69-58. Pair unanimous MVPs, Shohei Ohtani brought home his third in the last 4 years, becoming the first ever to go 50-50. Also joined Frank Robinson as the only players to win MVP in both leagues. Meanwhile, Aaron Judge, also a unanimous winner, his second MVP in the last 3 years for the Yankees. I'm Marco Belletti.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Very frustrating. It's frustrating for everybody. Frustrating for the players. Frustrating for the coaches. I know it's disappointing for the fans. But we have a lot of moving parts going on, and we just have to be cleaner and more detailed in certain spots. We're not playing well enough.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of Mike McCarthy. The Dallas Cowboys are not part of the After Hours Game of the Week poll, though if they don't figure out something, a little something-something, or a lot of something-something, they're going to get demolished by the Commanders as well. This one taking place in Maryland, in Landover. And the Commanders, they'd like to get back to their winning ways after losing to the Eagles. So here's another division game for Washington, a chance to keep that leg up in the NFC East and keep pace with the Eagles. So right now you've got Philadelphia at 8-2 with a very tough game on the road this weekend against the Rams. That's Sunday night football. Then you've got the Commanders at 7-4, but they've dropped 2 games in a row. So this is a big one. Not only would they like to add to the Cowboys' misery, because there's no love lost in that division, but again, they want to try to keep pace with the Eagles, who have now the ability to control their own path in the East and control their own path to the division title. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There are a lot of teams on bye this week. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but going into Thanksgiving week, where you've got a bunch of teams who play on Thursday and also on Friday. So no Atlanta, no Buffalo, no Cincinnati, no New Orleans, no Jets, thank God, no Jacksonville, same thing. And Doug Peterson still has his job. So I would think that if Shad Khan was going to fire Doug, it would have happened going into this bye week so that the team would have some time to adjust. So those are your six bye teams. And then we've got the Game of the Week poll that's available at Amy After Hours and also on our Facebook page. Now, you may remember going back a couple of weeks ago, and this is part of the deal when you're losing. Losing exacerbates all of the various personality conflicts. Losing exacerbates a lack of leadership at times. It really exposes any fissures or fractions that are taking place in your locker room or on the field. Now, I'm not saying those are all fatal, right? These don't have to be fatal breaks. These don't have to be the types of conflicts that can ruin a locker room. But they get exposed and exacerbated, and I would say they get irritated. That's the word I'm looking for. All of these various personality issues and challenges and conflicts, they'll get irritated a little bit, like if you have an itch of some sort and you start thinking about it. It's like, it's just more irritating when you think about it. Then you scratch it and it gets red. And that's kind of the issue. The Cowboys right now, because everything is wrong and because they're getting demolished at home because they cannot seem to protect their home field and they really don't have answers for what's happening. Every little comment, every little quote gets completely blown out of proportion, analyzed 18 ways to Sunday. A couple weeks ago, Micah Parsons, he was returning from his IR stint and he was asked about the losing and he was asked about how hard this season has been. And he answered with, well, actually, I suppose to back up a little bit, he was first asked about Mike McCarthy's job status. And what he said was, that's above my pay grade, which to me, I mean, I would say the same thing. If somebody came to me and said, hey, you're a general manager, do you think he should keep his job? I mean, that's not my decision. I just work here, for heaven's sakes. So I had no issues with Micah saying that's above my pay grade. Then he goes on to talk about, I really feel badly for the veterans who work harder than Mike McCarthy ever did. Ruh-roh. That was where I felt like it kind of got away from him. Now, he took to his podcast and said he never threw Mike McCarthy under the bus. I don't know why all of a sudden he is apologizing, but that's what we got on Thursday.
When I'm talking about here, I'm thinking of Dallas Cowboys. I have no reference. I was in middle school or elementary school when Mike McCarthy was at the Packers and other teams like that, so obviously I have no relevance from that. So when I'm talking about here and Dallas Cowboys and what was accomplished the most, you know, I'm thinking about the guys, and I've only ever been here. So, you know, obviously, no disrespect to his career and what he's made for himself as being one of the most winningest coaches, because, you know, I could have just done better. I was angry, and I just didn't finish. I wasn't as thoughtful as I usually am, and, you know, I didn't think people would take that context the way it was, so that's on me. I lost, and I didn't want to finish, and I was trying to hurry up out of the locker room, so next time I'll be very more careful about what I say, so you know, that's my apology.
Now, I feel like that is really accountable from Micah Parsons. First of all, he's a leader in the locker room. They need him to be talking about football, focused on football, to be healthy. This kind of stuff is just distractions and ridiculous. And of course, he and Mark McCarthy did speak afterwards. And McCarthy said that publicly. All of this stuff is just extra noise that we really can't afford right now. You're trying to be professional. You're trying to keep the attention off of this other stuff and focused on football. But I appreciate that Micah said it's on me because I was frustrated. I just wanted to get out. I didn't want to talk to media. I hate losing. The whole thing, it was just a product of me not being careful and recognizing that this kind of thing can get taken out of context and blown out of proportion. Now, I don't think we did that here on the show. As I say, I didn't have any issues with what Micah said until he threw in that little part about how the veterans work harder than Mike McCarthy ever did. Don't. But now we know that they're fine. Micah has talked about his perspective and his frustration. Both Mike McCarthy and Micah Parsons have said their conversation was good and they're all, I'm trying to come up with a cool word. I'm not cool. They're cool. They're cool.
The most important thing is, obviously, how much respect and love I have for Coach McCarthy. Obviously, you never want to kind of throw shade or anything like that on your coach, but I think, like anything, him understanding the importance of, I'm always going to be a player's guy first, right? I'm always going to think about the guys around me before anyone, because that's who I go to war with. You know, those guys that's leaning on me and I'm leaning on them, that's how we feed our family. So, you know, that's kind of like what I wanted to get across. But we, like, hashed it out. It was all good and gravy.
I like that. Now, see, he's much cooler than me. He's good in gravy. I couldn't come up with another word for cool. He's good in gravy, Producer Pete. Would you say that you're cool?
Me?
Yes, you. Because someone's got to be cool on this show, and it's certainly not me.
Yeah, I think I'm cool.
Oh, sweet. Okay, well, I'm definitely not. I'm a nerd. I got excited over a chair. Also,
that is true.
Really cracked me up. Now, you tell me, because you hear me on a nightly basis. You're here in the control room. Do you think that I had more energy, more joy, more enthusiasm on last night's show?
No, I think you had an extra perk.
You do?
An extra perk.
Oh, okay. Not because people were actually telling me, after you shared the photos of me exulting over the new comfy chair, which, by the way, is not my chair. People were congratulating me. It's not my chair. It's a community chair. So, you know, we got to share it. People were telling me I could hear it. You were so much better. You were so much more joyful on the air.
Well, they say posture leads to better production.
Do they say that?
I think so.
Maybe the cool kids do.
Yeah.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.